Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 13. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of every burden and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is laid out for us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. Carefully consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinful people, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood in your fight against sin. Have you also forgotten the encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard the Lord's discipline lightly, and do not become weary of his correction. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves, and he corrects every son he accepts. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. Is there a son whose father does not discipline him? If you are not disciplined, and all of us have received it, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. In addition, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Should we not submit even more to the Father of the spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, according to what seemed best to them, but God disciplines us for our good, so that we may have a share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant when it is happening, but painful. Yet later, it yields a peaceful harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your weak hands and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. This is our text. Dear people of God, last week's epistle lesson was from Hebrews chapter 11, and it focused on Abraham and the great faith of Abraham and how he endured life trusting in the Lord. But if a person were to read all of Hebrews chapter 11, you would see a whole bunch of Old Testament heroes of faith. This is the list in Hebrews 11. It's Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. That's quite a list of believers. Or as our text says, a great cloud of witnesses. We are to learn from their lives and their trials, and we are to be encouraged by them to endure. Endure the race of life and endure the Lord's discipline. The writer to the Hebrews opens our sections encouraging us to endure as we run the race that is laid out for us. That's a very full statement. The race is laid out for us. The Lord laid it out. We do not run through life willy-nilly, but the Lord thought out and he designed each step for you to take. However, it is you running. We are not robots of the Lord. You run. You exert the effort. If a person wants to run off of the path that the Lord has prepared and run off into the swamp, well, go ahead. If a person loves his sin and wants to follow it into all kinds of wickedness, if a person wants to live with the burden of their sin hanging on them and just live in drunkenness or drug abuse or sex addiction or just plain laziness, wrapped around their legs like trying to run in a bathrobe, Well, this is America. No one's going to stop you. But the writer to the Hebrews encourages us today to strip off whatever sin and obstacles prevent us from running the Lord's race. And we should run a joyful, meaningful race. Have a meaningful life to the glory of God. And the way we do that, he tells us, the way to live our lives, the way to run our race, is to do it with our eyes fixed on Jesus. The race of life is not a sprint. We don't get all hopped up on spirituality just for a little while and then say, I'm not doing that anymore. No, the race of the Christian life is a marathon. You have to pace yourself. You have to keep on going. It takes a long time to get to the finish line with your faith intact. However, the picture that the writer to the Hebrews is using here is that of a sprint. He describes a race in which you can see the finish line from the starting point. And at our finish line that the writer describes here is Jesus, with his arms open wide, ready for us to come running, jump into those arms, and then have him take us off to the celebration feast in his paradise. Jesus is what gives our lives joy and endurance, not to mention forgiveness. Jesus is the reason why we're running at all. The writer tells us to carefully consider Jesus as we run, as we live. Because, well, he's our example, yes, but more important than that, Jesus is our Savior. We can endure our soft lives because Jesus endured the hardest life. He endured such hostility against himself from sinful people. That's his suffering and death, of course. But even worse than the suffering Jesus endured from the hands of sinful people is the suffering that Jesus endured from the hands of his own dear heavenly Father. The Father took out his hatred and anger at sin upon his own Son. Anger and punishment that should have been directed toward our sinful souls, toward the souls of the people of the whole world of all time, Jesus took upon himself. God did not spare his Son one ounce of suffering, all so that the Father could look at you and call you holy, forgiven, his own dear beloved child. That's what Christ has done for us. And that's why we run the race of life looking at our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying your stuff isn't hard. You may have a terribly hard life. What I'm saying is that Jesus was harder. But what that means is Jesus understands. See, whatever you're going through, the Lord knows and he cares and he can do something about it. And not just because he's interested in your life. He knows what you're going through because he did it too. Jesus endured all the troubles of this world because he lived as one of us, except he did it without ever sinning once. And again, he did that all for you. We don't give up on life. We endure with Christ until the end. See, God understands that you might want to give up. And he says, don't. Don't give up. Endure with Christ. Endure the race of life and endure the discipline of the Lord. Now, isn't that strange that those two things are together? The race of life and the Lord's discipline. Why are they together in this one text? Well, it's because they are both things that a person might want to quit. A person might say, I'm done. I don't care what happens to me anymore. I don't want to do this. And the writer says, don't do it. You run the race of life with the strength and the forgiveness that Christ provides. And you the Lord's discipline because it's for your good. I love this line here. My son, do not regard the Lord's discipline lightly, and do not become weary of his correction. That's a passage from Solomon's writings. See, those are the two ditches that a person could fall into as he's enduring the Lord's discipline. To take it lightly or to grow weary in it. To take the Lord's discipline lightly is to say everything in life is random. Everything happens just by chance. See, that's the mantra of the evolutionists. Evolutionists say that everything just happened by accident. That there's no reason for anything anywhere in the world or universe. They would say that my hand is an accident of the stars. Even though it's an amazing wonder. My hand, I can use my skin and pick something up with the lightest of effort and the tiniest of touch. But I can also use my hands to grab onto something for my whole life with all my strength. This is something that the scientists have not perfected in a robot yet. They can't do it. And this is supposed to have happened by chance without a design of the Lord? People say the same thing about life, that stuff just happens. People don't believe that God has a plan, that he's guiding it all, even your troubles, to guide you in the way he would have you go and to his glory. Even though scripture says over and over that the Lord is doing it all. Don't take the Lord's discipline lightly. Understand that the Lord is using the troubles of your life to guide you and to shape you, to teach you and to guide you. The writer here uses the example of fathers and sons. Fathers discipline their sons. Why? Because they hate them? Because they like picking on people smaller than they? Not at all. Fathers discipline their sons because they love them. Because they want them to grow up to be men. Because they want them to grow up to be respected. They want them to respect others and help others and not be a burden on the world. The Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and he corrects every son he accepts. If the Lord loves you, he's going to let you endure troubles in your life in order to shape you into a Christian who depends on the Lord for everything. The Lord disciplines his people to make you God-fearing, saved Christians. Don't disregard that. Don't despise it. Don't take it lightly. And also, don't become weary and lose heart. Like all metaphors, the father and son picture falls short because us earthly fathers don't always discipline very well at all. Unlike the heavenly father, we mess up. And the Lord even has to warn us earthly fathers not to exasperate our children with too much discipline. I remember being a little kid, getting spanked. You get that little kid breath going. I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. I'm going to run away. I'm going to teach him. Turns out I was a stupid little kid. And I needed whatever discipline my father gave me. And he did it very well. He walked that line wonderfully between discipline and compassion. Even though he was a sinful man, as Paul says, I respected him for what he did. How much better is God, the Heavenly Father, at this than my father was? When the Lord disciplines us, he does it perfectly. And just because we don't see what he's doing or why he's doing it, doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan. We are to trust that he knows what he is doing. Believe that he has designed it all for our benefit. Trust the Lord, like all those heroes of faith did. No discipline seems pleasant when it is happening, but painful. Yet later, it yields a peaceful harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So we run the long race of life with Christ as our strength and as our goal. And we endure the troubles of our lives as the Lord's discipline for our good. And in it all, we endure. And then at the end of our text, if you notice, Paul encourages us to help one another endure the troubles of this world, endure the Lord's discipline. He adds, therefore, strengthen your weak hands and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. In other words, endure. All of you together, in Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.